Parsha Vayera is one of those parshiot. Many of the parshiot and Bereishit are like this, where there's just way too many things to talk about. Clearly, the big star of the entire parsha is the Akedah, and that we dealt with that last year. We talked about the Akedah, and the Akedah itself has so many different angles. We could do that for another 23 years and still not exhaust it. Also, a common thing to talk about in this week's parasha is the first part, which is the visit to Avraham's tent and what it means for there to be angels and what it means for them to take on human form. And is it real? Was it a dream? The Rambam's approach, etc. And that's all a fascinating piece. And once we actually looked at the Rashbam all the way through that parak and his whole take on the Malach and Hashem and how the two intermingle. But in the middle of it is a parasha which is very big. And I wouldn't say it's overlooked, but is not as central. And that's the whole story of Sodom. And I titled it Reexamining Sodomy, but I put sodomy in quotes with a question mark because sodomy is called sodomy. I think we all know what it is. We need to. You guys can look it up. Because of Sodom. And because the assumption is that what the people of Sodom wanted to engage in, which, of course, makes us think is what they regularly engaged in, was sodomy, which is male rape in this case. So we're going to take a look at the story. We're going to take a look at the first nine psukim of the story, the Malachim visiting Sodom. We're trying to figure out what the text actually says and why we imprint that read on it, because we all do, and whether that's the accurate read. Let's take a look at it. Now remember that there were three visitors who turn out to be Malachim, who visit Avraham. Avraham escorts them towards Sodom. They come to Sodom, and they come into Sodom after Avraham negotiates with God about how many tzaddikim have to be found in order to spare the city. We get it down to 10, sold America, and we're done. That discussion's over, that conversation's over, and then the people of the Malachim come into Sodom. Here we go. Vayavo shnei Malachim Sodoma ba'erev. So they come at the end of the day. V'lot yoshev b'shar Sodom. There's Lot at the gate of Sodom, which right away, I put it in a different color, highlighted what's Lot doing at the gate of Sodom. And by the way, nobody else seems to be at the gate of Sodom. As we'll see in a minute, nobody else is at the gate of Sodom except for Lot. What's he doing there? Lot sees them and he gets up to greet them and then he bows down to them. And it sounds almost exactly like the beginning of the parasha when the three people come to Avram and Avram sees them, he runs to them and he bows to them. He calls them my masters. Come away, come to my house. You'll rest there. You'll wash your feet there. No, it's from the road. And then he says, and you'll get up early and you'll go on your way. Which, by the way, is a little bit of a mishaberach. I mean, you know, come, be welcome in our house and get the heck out of Dodge early. All right? Very interesting. They said, we're not going to do that. Rather, we're going to stay in the street. Or Rehov is actually not a street. Rehov in modern Hebrew is a street. Rehov in Tanakh means the city square. So they're in the city square, they're staying in the city, and they want to stay there. Why do they want to stay there? What's their job? Why are these two guys in Sodom? Well, but if they want, they don't have to come in to destroy Sodom, right? So why are they there? Because what was the last part of the negotiation? If I find 10 tzaddikim, right? So they're coming in to see whether or not there's anybody there, enough people to justify saving Sodom. That's what it seems like. Okay? And to see what is going on in the city. Earlier on in Perek Yud Chet, Hashem says, Erdana ve'ereha ketza'akata ba'ilai asuchala. I'm going to go down and see if it's as bad as it seems, and then I'll destroy him. The theological problems in this parsha are huge. What does it mean? God says, I got to go see how bad it is. What does that mean?
You should know.
It means God doesn't know.
Right. And what is going down going to help? And who are the Malachim relative? Very big problems. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone for this year. We actually dealt with them a couple years ago. So he pesters them. So they agree and they come to his house. So he makes a mishteh, a feast, but not really a feast, like a fancy feast. And he makes them matzot. Why does he make matzot? Simplest explanation.
Quick.
Exactly. Yeah. Put some dough on a hot thing for 15 minutes or so, and you got matzot.
Is that a contrast to Abraham?
Yeah, because with Avraham, there was time, right? He evidently feels rushed. Now, is he rushed because it's the end of the day and he wants to feed them now and not wait 3 hours for stuff to bake? Unclear. Avraham also keeps using the word maher. Mahari, shloshem, or something, vayimaher Avraham. Three times the word maher is used in the case of Avraham. He doesn't have it here, but here he's also acting fast. Terem yishkavu. They have not yet laid down. Which means they come in the house, they're going to eat, they're going to lie down and sleep. They haven't yet laid down. V'anshei ha'ir, anshei Sodom, nasabu al habayit. All right, anshei ha'ir, anshei Sodom. Now, that seems a little bit redundant, because we already know it's Sodom. So anshei ha'ir is anshei Sodom. What does that mean? Anshei ha'ir, anshei Sodom. Nasabu al habayit. Nasabu means to surround, saviv. They surround the house. Minar v'ad zaken. Now, what does minar v'ad zaken mean?
Meaning?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody. Kolam mikatzeh. Which means everybody. Which means you're saying everybody twice. Anshei ha'ir, anshei Sodom is a redundant term. And minar v'ad zaken, kolam mikatzeh is another redundant term. And they're both redundant terms, sort of. So what's going on with this redundancy again and again? Sorry. What happens? They surround the house. Vayikru'u alot vayomru lo. Right? They call Lot, and what do they say to him? Ayeha anashim ashabau elecha laila. What do they say? Where are the people who came to you tonight? Which means they heard or they saw, somebody told them that Lot has some strangers in his house. Hotsiyem eleinu v'neida otam. So what do they say to Lot about these people? Hotsiyem eleinu.
Send them out
to us, v'neida otam, and that we should what? So now, Sam says the way most people read it, v'neida otam means that we will have sex with them, and in a sense we will know them, but the way that the Bible talks about knowing, right? Okay, we'll see if that really works. So at this point we think that their demand is send them out so we can rape them. Vayitse alehem lo tapetcha. What does Lot do? He comes out to the door. Vadelat sagar charav. He closes the door behind him. Now, important to note that what Lot is operating with, and we see it elsewhere, we see it with Avraham, we see it with Chever HaKeni and Yael, we talked about that years ago, is the Bedouin code of hospitality. The Bedouin code of hospitality is very strong. When you come into my tent, you become a member of the family. I become responsible for you. There was an anthropologist who in the 19th century spent time living with Bedouins and reported on their code of honor. If you come into my tent and I bring you in as a guest, I'm so responsible for you that if somebody kills you, I become your Goel Hadam, your blood avenger, like family. There's only one thing that can get you thrown out of the tent, and that is making a pass at one of the women in the tent. There's a whole piece of the Yael story in that. So,
what did they offer their daughters to the...
Oh, here we go. So Lot steps outside. What does Lot do? Vayom vayomar al na achai tareu. What does he call the people of Sodom? Brothers. And what does he say to them? Don't act badly. So if they are saying, send them out so we can rape them, he says, don't act badly, I kind of get that. And then he says something that just makes us sick to our stomach. What does he say? I have two daughters. Asher lo yad'u ish, which means?
They're virgins.
They're virgins, right? Now, why would he add that in? What's the point of adding that in?
More value?
To what? Otsia, I mean, you got a point, but to what? Otsia na etan alechem. I'm going to take them out to you. Because remember, what was the words that they used? Hotsiem Eleinu, send those men out. So he says, Otsiana, I'll send these girls out. Vasulahen katov einechem. You can do whatever you want to them. And we assume, of course, that means what? So we're sensing a crowd that's on fire with sexual lust, and they want to take these guests, and so Lot says, okay, you could satisfy your lust with my daughters. And we become physically ill just thinking about that. About, I don't care what your code of hospitality is, you're out of your mind. And you're a Rasha Gomer and all that stuff. No question. And as if to hammer the point home, he says, but just don't do anything to these men because they're my vet, my guests.
Maybe he knows how to tackle, turn them down.
So what happens? Vayimru Geshala. They say, come here. Vayimru ha'echad balagur vayishpot shafot. And they say something that seems totally out of context of the statement. In other words, they could say, look, we are the people in town. We're going to break your house down. We want to take these men. We don't want your daughters. Or they could have said yes. But instead, they have this line. One guy is coming, lagur. What's lagur mean? So in Tanakh, it means to visit. It's like a ger. He's an outsider. Vayishpot shafot. And now he's judging. How's he judging? Sounds like he's telling us how we should behave. Sounds like.
These are where the townspeople?
Yeah, these are the townspeople saying to Lot. Atan aralachamiyam. We're going to treat you worse than we're going to treat them. In other words, now, I'm not sure exactly what could be worse, but we're going to treat you, Lot, worse than they were going to treat them. And they start pestering him, and by the way, notice, he pestered them to come into his house. Now they're pestering Lot to get into his house. There's a lot of interplay in this text. And they come, they try to close the door, to break the door down. From here on in, we're not going to look at, but just to finish the story, the Malachim grab Lot, bring him inside, slam the door, and then they blind everybody outside. And then they tell Lot, whoever you have here, take them out of the city because we're going to destroy, Gashem's going to destroy the city. And Lot then talks to his chatanim, which probably means his daughter's fiancés, and tries to tell them what's going to happen. And they think he's crazy and they laugh at him.
They were in the house originally?
Unclear if they were already in the house or where everybody was blind so he could go outside and he talked to them. And they think he's nuts and they won't go with him. And so the Malach goes with him. Okay, now, critical to note, what happens at the end of the entire story? Lot escapes, the city is destroyed, and they say to him, quick, go up into the mountains before we destroy the town, because we don't want you to be here as collateral damage. Where does Lot end up at the end of the story? He ends up in a cave. With his daughters and a bottle of Blue Nun, right?
Good choice.
And it was an immaculate choice. And the next thing you know, of course, we all know the story, is that the daughters get him drunk. We think drunk. He drinks, and they each sleep with him on subsequent nights.
But they think that the whole world destroyed them.
Right. Right. And so now there's an important thing that happens in the words there. The Malachim here have not yet laid down. What's the word used for that? Terem Yishkavu. In the meantime, the girls are presented as Asher Lo Yadu Ish. In the story in the cave, Vatishkavimo, Lishkav there is used to mean what? Sexual relations. But Lot, both mornings, v'lo yada b'shichva v'kuma, he doesn't know about it. So the word yada and the word shachav take flipped meanings. In the story in Sdom, yada is sexual and shachav is to lie down. And in the cave, shachav is sexual and yada means knowledge. But here's what happens. We read this story and we have three reasons, at least, that we think that what the people of Sdom want to do is a gang rape. And therefore we figure, well, if they want to do a gang rape, that must be their normal modus operandi, and they must be people who do that, and therefore sodomy, the name comes up. Okay. question is that what's happening here? What's guiding our reading? Is there anything in the text that says sodomy? And by the way, that line of saying we'll treat you worse than them is a little bit, well, what could be worse? But is there anything that says that? So one of the reasons that we read it that way is as follows. What happens to Lot at the end of the story? At the very end of the story, he sleeps with his own daughters. And so we imprint that back on this because, again, Yada Shachav, and he's in the cave with them, they're in the house, all of these parallels, there's two malachim, there's two daughters. So, and by the way, how are these daughters introduced as daughters who are sexually virgins? And so we assume that, you know, there's a quid pro quo or something, or some sort of midah k'nei midah happening. It must be that this is about a sexual crime. The second reason we read it this way is because of the word neda otam. And like you said, in the Tanakh, ladat means to have sexual relations. Not exactly. But there's a third reason which why we read it this way. If you take a look at page 2, and you look at the source 2. Source 2 is a story in Sefer Shoftim. And Sefer Shoftim is a difficult book to read. It's very upsetting. And Sefer Shoftim's most upsetting story is maybe the most upsetting story in all of Tanakh. It's the story of Pilegesh Begiva. It takes 3 full chapters, long chapters, of the story of the concubine at Giva and the subsequent civil war that almost wiped out Shevet Binyamin. And it's the story starts, meaning the problems start, when this fellow, unnamed, goes back to Beit Lechem to fetch his concubine who ran away from him. And 4 months later, he goes to fetch her and takes a while before he can leave with her. He leaves with her and he leaves late in the day, so he doesn't get all the way home. And he stops in the town of Giva, which is the town of Binyamin. And he stops in Binyamin. It's him, his lad, his concubine, and a donkey, and a visitor, a guy who's not from there, but has rents a house, evidently, from Har Ephraim, invites him to come into the house. And the people of Giv'ah come around, and they pretty much say the same thing. The house owner says, I've got a daughter, and he's got a Pilegesh, we'll send them out to you. The crowd says no. So the guy, this husband, whatever it is, takes his Pilegesh, throws her outside, and no, sits down, has dinner, goes to sleep. In the meantime, she is gang-raped, unquestionably gang-raped, all night. Nobody has any food around them right now. Okay, good. At the end of the night, he wakes up, and he sees her lying by the doorstep. She crawled to the doorstep and didn't make it any further. And says, come on, it's time to go. So he puts her on the donkey and takes her home. By the way, it never says she's dead. And he cuts her up into 12 pieces. And he sends so it's unclear whether she was even dead when he cut her up, or whether that killed her. And he sends the 12 pieces as a group around to all Shiftei Israel, calling for a civil war against Binyamin, and it just goes downhill from there. But it's a really, really difficult story. But because of this story, and because of the very strong similarities between this story and Stone, and that story certainly is about a gang raper, in the end it is, we imprint the same thing here. But I'd like to suggest a whole different way of reading this story. And by the way, if you take a look at source 3, the Rashbam says, Neda otam is Mishkav Zachor, v'chein pehilegesh begiva. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says something very interesting. He says that originally when they said Neda otam, they didn't necessarily intend that. But when he said, I'm going to send out 2 girls, I mean, we didn't necessarily understand it that way, but when he says, I'll send out my 2 daughters, you can do whatever you want to them, we now understand, oh, this is about sex. So now we understand Neda otam is about that sort of thing. All right? I want you to take a look for a moment at the Radak, source 5.
By the way, did the angels identify the relationship with Abraham when they went there?
Not that we heard of. Not that we heard of. They might have. Source 5, the Radak says the following. V'neda otam mihem. V'echlo yare lavo b'ireinu anashim zcharim. V'ashamru lahargam k'onidadi p'legesh b'givau k'mo shamar ha'ish p'sapro ha'maseh. Todimu laharog. Right? He says, what's Neda Otam? Interrogate them. Roughly interrogate them. I mean, interrogate them roughly. And then he says, V'yesh mefarshim mashgav zachar. Some people say it means homosexuality, but not necessarily. Okay. So, if you come back to the story, I'd like to present it a little bit differently. Right? And you can see there's an article I'm pretty much basing this on. by Morshauer at the bottom of the page. Let's go back to the beginning, but we want to give a little background. What is the recent history of Stone? What has happened in Stone recently? We know, I mean, from Torah. What? There was a war. And what happened in that war? The whole city of Stone was taken captive, and all their loot was taken, and then Avram swept in to help it, right? But that's Stone. Stone was just recovered from this. Remember, Stone was subjugated to Eastern kings for 13 years. Then they led a rebellion. Then the kings came and quashed the rebellion and took them all off, and then Avram saved them. So, understandably or not, and Stone's a wealthy city because it's in a lush area, they're kind of wary of outsiders. Maybe they're overly wary of outsiders. Maybe they're criminally wary of outsiders. Okay. So what happens if outsiders come to the town? What are they typically going to do? They're going to typically, at least, interrogate them. So Lot sets himself up in a position to try to help people who are coming from out of town. Now, where is Lot at the beginning of the story? At the gate. What offices that we know of in Tanakh, and we know this archaeologically, are at the gate of the city? The court. Shoftim v'shotrim ten lecha b'chol sharecha. So how is Lot at the gate? Lot has somehow gotten himself in a position as a shofet. And he's sitting at the gate of the city as the gate's closed, and what does he see? He sees people coming. What does he know the townspeople will do when they see guests? They're going to interrogate them, and it won't be pleasant. So what does he do? He says, come to my house. He says, no, we'll stand. No, come into my house now. But what's the next thing he tells them? Come into my house and get out of Dodge early in the morning. He doesn't say come into my house and stay. It's like, he says, come into my house, wash up, have something to eat, and in the morning, get up early and leave. It's not a safe place to be. Okay. The town people come around. Take a look at this. Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sodom is not just describing the people of the city. It sounds like it's some sort of an official delegation. And now take a look at it. Minar v'yad zaken. Nar and zaken, as you see in several of the sources at the bottom of the very bottom of the page, doesn't necessarily mean the young and the old. They seem to actually be references to two different kinds of leadership councils. And I'll give you the best example of it, which you all know the story. The northern kingdom separated itself from Yehuda. What was the proximate cause for that? Shlomo died, and Rechavam came to Shechem to become crowned. And the people said, we'll be loyal to you if you lower taxes. Rechavam says, I'll get back to you. And he sits down with two different groups to take advice. Who are the two groups? The elders and the youngins. And the elders say, do exactly what they say. They'll be loyal to you. Let them go. Your father was really taxed them very hard. The youngins say, no, you got to stick it to them. And tell them, your pinky is bigger than your father's waist. Katoni avami motnei avi. And the text says he ignored the advice of the elders, took the advice of the yeladim, Asher Gadluimo, and tells them, I'm going to stick it to you, I'm going to make the taxes even worse, and they say, the heck with you, and that's it, that's the breakaway. There are the Zakinim and the Na'arim. So who's coming here in Stone? It's not just a mob. It's a city delegation. And they're coming and saying, you have guests here, you know the protocol, send them out so we can interrogate them. Lot knows that interrogation is going to be very unfriendly, so what does he do? He goes out and says, please don't do it. And then what does he do? He offers his daughters, Hasher lo yadu ish. What does that do? Hasher lo yadu ish makes them more valuable. Why do I care about value? Because what's he offering them as? So take a look, please, at source 7. Source 7 and 8 go together.
Are they worried about danger to the city because strangers are...
Could be spies. Could be spies. Right? Look at 7 and 8. When the brothers come back to Canaan and tell father the story that we have to go down with Binyamin, if we don't come with Binyamin, we won't see Shimon again, we won't get more food, father refuses. And he refuses. As he refuses, who speaks up? Who, by the way, always speaks up too early, too hasty, and messes up? Reuven. And what does Reuven say? He says something really weird. He says, "Et shnei vanai tamit im lo avienu elacha." What does he say?
If we're to believe the English translation here.
It's crazy. Kill my two sons? What's he saying? But what's he really saying? My two sons are, what? No, are collateral. They're pledges.
But I'm good for it.
I'm good for it. Yes. Exactly. And my two sons, exactly. Father doesn't like it. So Yehuda, a while later, after the food runs out, turns around and says, Anochi ervenu miyadi tamakshan, I'll be the pledge. Which is not different than Reuven, except instead of saying my kids will be the pledge, I'll be the pledge. Reuven said it in a dumber way. But it's the same thing. There is such a notion, and we have records both in Tanakh and outside of Tanakh, in the ancient world and in the modern world, of a person, what?
Who said he will be the collateral?
Yehuda. And that's what he says later in his speech to Yosef, of the Chai, Rav Tanar, I became the collateral. So there's such a thing as a human pledge, where a person says, I will, or I'm offering one of my family members as security for a loan, security for a debt, security for safe passage, whatever it might be. So what is Lot doing here with the daughters? Lot has no reason to think that anything's going to happen to his daughters. What is he doing? He's offering his daughters as collateral. Basically saying, you can hold on to my daughters. And when will I get them back? Don't let these two guys leave. And so there's nothing of a sexual nature in this particular... It's disgusting. It's terrible. You want to offer yourself. Don't offer your daughters. But notice that the use of asher lo yadu ish here is actually something that heightens their value. And it makes it more likely that they're not going to do anything to them, because that's what the point of a hostage is. The point of a hostage is you can't mess with the hostage because you're not going to get what you want. The $1 million in the airplane or whatever it is that you're looking for, you're not going to get it if you hurt the hostage. You're holding the hostage as leverage, but you have to treat the hostage well.
I missed something here. You said the daughters are the hostages?
Uh-huh. He's offering them pledges,
yeah,
as security for his guests. He knows the daughters aren't going to be hurt, but the guests will be hurt very badly. So to protect the guests, what he does, says...
the daughters, then they won't hurt the guests.
And they say, you keep my daughters, you hold them. That's my security. I promise you these guys will be gone in the morning. And when they leave, I'll get my daughters back. So it means you can treat them as you want, meaning kind of like as an open statement, but it's not of anything of a sexual nature, right?
You can literally do whatever. If you wanted to take it to market, take it to market. If you want
to... Probably not.
Okay.
It probably doesn't mean to that extent, but it's probably some sort of formula of saying, here, do what you want with them as like a formula statement.
If I don't fulfill my part of the bargain.
And, of course, if I don't fulfill my part of the bargain, then they're yours. And then you can do what you want. Correct.
He had a lot of trust in these people.
But it's a leverage thing. Because remember, why are they coming around?
Children.
But why are they coming around? They're coming around because they are really scared of these visitors. And what do they think the visitors are there for?
They're scared, or they want to rape them.
But they don't want to rape them. Why are they scared of the visitors? This is a town that has great... I'm going to show this to you in the Nevi'im in a second. This is a town that has had a recent history of problems with the outside. These visitors are outsiders. We don't want them here.
Very
so Lot says,
town.
Okay, you know what?
There's a river flowing through it. It's a very desirable area.
What?
Sodom had a river flowing through it.
Yeah. Well, nearby. Area. Yeah, lush, of course. And people want to come, and they want to steal, they want to take it over. So we don't want these guys here. So Lot says, look, you know, they'll be here, I'll promise you, and first thing in the morning, they'll be gone. And you know what? You don't believe me here. You can hold my daughters as collateral. If they're not gone in the morning, then asulam katov minichem. Right? Nothing sexual about it. Now I'll show it to you. Makeva patish. Take a look at the key verse, which is verse 6. Yechezkel Tet Zion is a very, very difficult parak to read. It's very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting. It's so upsetting that Rebbe Eliezer is of the opinion, sorry, that the Chacham of the opinion, that in the Mishnah, Haftarot were still freeform. You could pick whatever passage from the Nevi'im you wanted to pick, as long as it fits certain criteria, and read it as Haftarah. You're not allowed to read this parak as Haftarah. Ein maftirin behodat Yerushalayim et tov avoteha. It's sad, upsetting. And in it, you see a pasuk where he says that your sin, Yisrael, is worse than the sins of Sodom, and Amorah. And then he says, Hineze haya avon Sodom, achotech. What was the big sin of Sodom? Gaon sveat lechem, tivat lechem, v'shavat hashkeit haya lav l'vnoteha. She had lots of food and lots of security. V'la'achotech means the exurbs around. V'yana nivev yon lachzika, and they didn't take care of the poor. Now, if Sodom was really the seat of sodomy, was really a place where homosexual rape was sort of the norm of how we treat guests, don't you think that would be on the list? Don't you think Yechezkel would have said, Hinezeh ya'avon Sodom, Yishkevu zachar k'mishkevei isha, etc., etc.? Because that's not what's happening. That's not, and you see it. This is, by the way, the one reference anywhere in later in Tanakh to Sodom in that sense of talking about Sodom as a real city. Not compared to Sodom. What? Benotayir means the suburbs.
I see.
Suburbs. Like the external things that would take refuge in the city and then and be supported by the city. So it's a different way to look at the story. And again, what colors our interpretation is three things. The use of Neda'otam in the context of Lot describing his daughters as Asher Lo Yadu Ish, one. Two, the end of the story of Lot, which is overtly sexual and incestuous and terrible. And three, the parallel story with Pilegesh B'Givah, which is ends up as about rape. But if you clear all that out of the way and look at the story straight on, you see that there's nothing of a sexual nature. It's violent. It's upsetting. It demonstrates to the Malachim that there really are no tzaddikim in this town whatsoever, and therefore the destruction has to happen. But it's not about sodomy.
On your interpretation,